On tonight's Perpetual Notion Machine, we have two interviews about chimney swifts, one that took place in 2023, another that took place earlier this week. Together, they reveal the long arc of conservation efforts. Enjoy.
No, Chimney Swifts is not the brand name for a speedy soot removal service company. They are a species of migratory birds that breed up here in Wisconsin and winter down in South America. They're on the move right now, and the DNR and swift enthusiasts are looking for help to get an accurate count of these speedy, aerobatic, but threatened birds. Nancy Naback is the chair of the Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group and is also the Communication and Development Coordinator for the Woodland Dunes Nature Center. Nancy Naback joins us now by phone. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thank you very much.
So why swifts? What's so exciting about them?
This is just a cool bird. They fly with a funky wing beat. Some people mistake them for bats, but they're most charismatic behavior is that in fall during migration, right now, they are grouping up and getting very communal. And when they are ready to sleep, go in for the night, they actually go into chimneys. And when they group up, they can group up in groups of 100, even in thousands. And they put on this performance in the sky that is like no other. You are watching literally a cyclone of birds before they enter the chimney at night. And it is just an amazing phenomenon to witness.
Now, why do they like chimneys so much? Surely they couldn't have evolved to appreciate chimneys. Why does it?
Well, yeah, actually, they adapted to appreciate chimneys. Historically, they were nesting and roosting in old growth forests that, you know, had hollowed out snags. And as we pioneered our way out west, we cut down their habitat. And so they had to quickly adapt to something else. And the chimney has a surface that they can cling onto with their sharp toenails, basically. So they hang vertically, actually, on the inside of a chimney, which kind of mimics what the inside of a hollowed out tree would be like.
It seems like a chimney would be a sort of dangerous place to put your babies. I mean, do they get smoked out?
Well, they don't, because the really cool thing about this is, you know, when the swifts come home, we say home, they're coming back in May, roughly, and they're going to be here just for a short time through these summer months, and we're not using our fireplaces, you know, during this season. So it's such a perfect marriage. And they actually do depend on these chimneys. So, you know, we want to take care of the bird. And by taking care of our chimneys, we're doing both.
What's their current ecological status? Are they endangered species?
They are not an endangered species. And I hope that they don't elevate to that status. I'm not sure that that won't happen. They are on serious decline. In the past 50 years, we've lost 72% of our swift population in North America. So that is a great loss in a very short amount of time.
Not enough fireplaces, huh?
Not enough fireplaces. Well, and you know, there's something to that. Technology has changed, and so fireplaces are no longer being built. There are recommendations that people cap their chimneys. We don't necessarily believe that all chimneys should be capped. And there is the fact that some chimneys are just being demolished and new buildings are being put up in place of old buildings. So there is a concern about habitat loss.
What are conservation groups doing to try and correct that habitat loss?
Well, we are trying to, for one, work with organizations, agencies, media outlets like you to help spread the word about just creating an awareness about the chimney swift. It's a fantastic bird and it is federally protected. So it behooves us to do what we can. So we're trying to create awareness campaigns such as the Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group. We have a great website with lots of information. We're encouraging folks to plant native plant species in their yards. That encourages great insects, and we know there's an insect decline. But with a better insect population, that is what chimney swifts feed on. So we also want them to have good foraging, good food sources, and those insects are critical for them.
So I'm thinking of other birds like peregrine falcons or things like that, where people have put out hacking boxes specifically to try and replace habitat that has been lost. Are there efforts to do something similar with chimney swifts, where if we can't use a chimney, there's another structure that could be placed that the swifts would inhabit?
That's a really good question. And there are some programs that are trying to, yes, make a mock chimney, basically. Unfortunately, in Wisconsin and in the Midwest, we're really not seeing success with that. A lot of really well-meant organizations and some Eagle Scouts, you know, are out there trying to build these chimney swift towers, we would call them. I think one of the problems that we think we're finding is that they are not insulated well enough, like a chimney that's connected to a building that has that ambient heat, and that is one of the factors that the swifts need. So we're kind of not really sure how we feel about that yet, because I guess we haven't really found the one that works yet. And I think we do need to encourage continuing to look at that, because if we found the right recipe for making, you know, those fake chimneys that would attract them, that they could be successful for nesting and roosting, that would be awesome.
So tell us a little bit more about the Chimney Swift Working Group. Who's on the group, and who else are you working with?
It's a really great group of just passionate, committed volunteers. It's a group of people that got together, oh, maybe a decade or so ago. And we just really thought, you know, you don't need to know a lot about birds or science to be able to watch chimney swifts in the sky and to know when they're going into a chimney. There's no other species that does that. And because it has such a great decline, this Swift Night Out concept came up, where people go out one night, you know, in early fall, and they watch a chimney and they count how many swifts enter the chimney at night, so we can start tracking trends. So the Chimney Swift Working Group felt that this was an excellent program, you know, to latch onto. And then we've just taken it further, like, what other campaigns can we implement? And again, we're trying to learn, is there a technology that's going to make that fake tower work where we can be successful? And what can we do in the meantime to protect the chimneys that we do have now? And again, it's a really great group of people who are just dynamic, passionate individuals who really care about protecting this bird.
So what are you asking people to do specifically this fall? And if they want to participate, how can they do that?
Yeah, it's really simple. If you go to the Chimney Swift Working Group website, you can find some locations where there are Swift Night Outs happening, starting right now in Green Bay and different times throughout the calendar, depending on where you are in the state. And there should be contact information there for each location. And we are just literally asking people to look for, you know, a historic location where there might be an old chimney that's not capped, and just watch it at sunset. Go about 20 minutes before sunset. Pay attention to the sky. See if you can hear that little chittering that they have. It's a very unique high-pitched chitter, and the very unique flight that's just this very tittery wing flight and pattern. They kind of look like a flying boomerang. And then watch that chimney to see if any of the swifts go in. And if you notice around sunset, which is about the time that they start going in or a little after, just count how many go into that chimney. And when you think the last one has gone in, we're recommending people just hang out for another 10 minutes just to make sure stragglers, you know, we don't miss those guys, because it happens. They'll come in at the last minute. Like, they still want to play in the dark, you know. And then we can get an accurate count. And there is a place where they could put that on eBird, or if they're looking at a specific location, they could report that to the location head in that area. But all of that information is on that website, and it's step-by-step process, super easy to do.
How many years in a row have you done this?
We've been doing it. I actually lead up the program that's in Green Bay, and we've been doing it for 12 years. So I think probably since it maybe first became a program that I'm aware of. in the state of Wisconsin. And we have so many volunteers who love this. They just look forward to this because it's such a cool phenomenon. They can't wait to get out there. And it's very exciting to see hundreds of swifts. Even if there's 14 swifts that go into Chimney, it's very exciting to know that there is a species that is, you know, has a habitat, has a home where it can sleep and where it has a nest and has a place before it heads out to the Amazon.
So tell us about the counts. What kind of counts have you been getting? And can you document whether the population is stable or you're getting more volunteers and then therefore more reports? How do you keep track of all that?
That is a good question, and it's a little bit challenging. I've been looking at, I would like to have more time just to study what's happening in Green Bay, because we've been doing it with a good group where we sort of canvass the city of Green Bay and we find a bunch of old chimneys. There are some swift night outs where they'll just go watch one really good popular chimney that could have hundreds or thousands of swifts going in it, which is fantastic, and people should participate in that. But we're doing a little more citizen science focused, I guess, in Green Bay, where we're really trying to get a good idea of how many chimneys are there and how many of them are being used. And we're just, I honestly feel, anecdotally, I have to be careful, I feel that we are seeing less swifts. You know, I would have to do some really hard number plugging and taking a lot of variables into play compared to 10 years ago. But I know that I was even just looking at a Facebook post that I put up 10 years ago, the second week of August, and looked at the numbers that we had 10 years ago to the numbers that we found last weekend. And our numbers are hundreds less than they were 10 years ago. Now, I have no idea if that happened to be there was a certain weather pattern or, you know, we had a few less volunteers this year than 10 years ago. But I think we're in a pretty even ballpark. But the fact is the chimney swift is on such great decline that just because we're watching chimneys doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're not declining anymore. And that's a reality that's really hard for me to take, but it's one that I have to be really conscious of as well.
All right. We've been speaking with Wisconsin Chimney Swift Working Group Chair Nancy Naback. For more information about participating in the annual Chimney Swift Count, go to wiswifts.org. Nancy Naback, thank you so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock bus.
Thank you.
Back in 2023, we at the Monday 8 o'clock Buzz spoke with bird conservationists from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources about the annual chimney swift migration. Thousands of these large charismatic birds arrive in Wisconsin in the fall and spring, featuring spectacular swoops in and out of open chimneys. Changes in building practices and a decline of industrial chimneys has led to a decline in roosting habitat for the swifts. And until recently, and at the time we spoke with the DNR folks, attempts to create artificial roosting habitat had met with little success. But that may be about to change. Joining us now in the studio is Matt Reitz, Executive Director of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance. Matt, welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Pleasure to be here, Brian. Thank you.
So you've got this middle school over at Cherokee Heights that's being rebuilt. Tell us what's happening with that project.
So Cherokee Heights Middle School was built, I think, in 1954 or something or other. And as part of the recent referendum in Madison, it's one of the schools that's slated for renovation, or in this case, it's actually going to be rebuilt. They're going to tear down Cherokee Heights Middle School and probably in 2026 or 27 and put a new school in, which is desperately needed.
And what does that have to do with chimney swifts?
Well, Cherokee Heights Middle School has one of the best chimneys in the state of Wisconsin for roosting chimney swifts. And if you don't know what a chimney swift is, that's you're not alone. There's a lot of folks who don't know what that is because they don't spend much time around where people see them. They are mostly in the air. They spend 90% of their lives in the air foraging for insects, and they only really come down to roost or to feed their young. They even bathe on the wing. They drink on the wing. They're on 90% of their lives, they're in the air. But when they do come down, they especially in the fall, they find these roosting locations, these chimneys, which is where their name comes from. And they're vitally important. They roost in there right at dusk. They come in. The spectacle of them coming in is amazing. Sometimes they'll do it in small amounts. But at Cherokee, there's usually more than 1,000 and as many as 2,500 birds that come in at dusk, start basically flying in a circle around the chimney. We call it a Swiftnado. And doesn't matter, it's sometimes clockwise, sometimes counterclockwise, and then they all go in pretty much en masse. It's really quite a spectacle. It's amazing.
And so this particular chimney at Cherokee Heights is significant roosting habitat.
It's a significant roosting habitat. There are a number of roosting sites around the state that are pretty large, and this is among the largest of them. So it's incredibly important for chimney swifts as they get ready for migration.
Now, it sounds very peculiar to me that a wild animal could become so particularly adapted to a human structure that its existence is threatened if those structures are removed. I mean, clearly there weren't chimneys when chimney swifts first started evolving this behavior. What did they use instead?
Great question. Prior to the arrival of Europeans, largely, they were roosting in hollowed out trees, these really large hollowed out trees, which just don't exist anymore. First of all, we don't really have that many old growth trees. And when they do die, we usually get rid of them because they're a hazard. So that natural cavity is pretty much gone. And then the swifts figured out when folks were building structures that, wow, these are just readily available and easy to use. So they really just adapted to use the man-made structures. And they have evolved an incredible way of doing this over the years. I mean, they have. If you think about a typical bird toe, there's three up front, and then there's the big toe in back, and then they just use that to perch. But chimney swifts have a first toe and a fourth toe that can rotate. So all four can go forward, and they can cling to the side of the chimney, and then they use 10 spiny tail feathers to prop themselves up. So they're incredibly clingy.
And do they sleep that way? That's how they rest at night?
Yep. They come in at night and they all will file in the thousands, and then they'll basically go to the center of the chimney. It becomes about 70 degrees warmer in there than it is on the outside temperature. And then they just cling to the wall. They sleep. They actually will sleep on the wing too. They're able to shut off half their brain and sleep and rest while they're flying around.
Like dolphins supposedly do in the water. So is there risks to chimney swifts from roosting in something that has, you know, carbon monoxide coming out of it, for example?
Yeah, I mean, certainly there's we always encourage folks to use your chimney at appropriate times of the year to be, because they'll nest in the chimneys as well. A pair will use a chimney. And there are some risks there, but typically they pick out chimneys that are safe. Mm-hmm. But there are certainly ways that people can protect the chimney swifts. A lot of folks think that this bird got trapped in there and they'll remove the nest or remove the young, but it's actually a preferred habitat for them.
And obviously, I mean, we've changed some of our building practices. You know, we don't have open chimneys anymore. Is that part of what has contributed to the decline of that kind of roosting habitat?
Absolutely. I think there's been, first of all, chimneys get old and folks don't reuse them. They'll cap them, they'll line them with metal, and so the chimney swifts can't cling in there anymore. So we also encourage folks, if you have an old chimney, to leave it uncapped during the breeding season and the roosting season, and then you can cap it afterwards temporarily, open the damper. People can create artificial chimneys next to their chimney. If you're going to switch to gas, and that's the venting, you can put an alternative vent someplace else and use the chimney for the chimney swifts.
Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, the last time we spoke with some DNR folks a couple years ago, we asked the question, why can't you just build artificial chimneys? And the answer was, we don't know. They don't work well. But you're suggesting with this Cherokee Heights Middle School, Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance, is saying now there's some techniques that may allow that to work. What's changed?
Well, there's two types of towers. There's there's smaller nesting ones that are maybe, I don't know, 10 to 20 feet tall, and then you can build a much larger chimney for roosting. The larger chimney would also serve for nesting, but it would be just for one pair. The nesting ones are more successful in the south, not as much in Wisconsin. We don't know really why that is, but there's a lot of good, there's some good examples of big roosting chimneys that have been built in Canada and other places that have been very successful. And part of the importance of working with on this particular project and getting the timing right is that we'd love to be able to build the structure if we can get, you know, permission from MMSD and work with the architects there and get the tower up before Cherokee is torn down, so that the swifts know that there's a roosting site there and that they'll start to use it. And so when the other chimney's gone, then there's a chimney available still.
And how big is the structure, and how much is it going to cost to build?
Well, it depends on how you design it and what you put into it and how pretty you want to make it. But, we estimate this might cost somewhere between $30,000 and $40,000, maybe more, which, when you think about it from, if this is a long-term structure, it's really not kind of a drop in the bucket, especially considering what it will do for chimney swifts, how vitally important it is. So right now we're sort of in a pledge phase where, you know, folks are really interested in helping out with this project. They can reach out to the Bird Alliance, reach out to me, and make a pledge. And then at some point, when we get to a critical amount and we get permission, then we'll open it up for public fundraising.
What about mothballing and leaving the existing chimney? Is that an option?
Great question. We asked that too. I think there's probably liability issues. I don't know if the chimney can stand on its own without the building around it. I think that it would be great to keep it, but I don't think it's an option.
So what goes into the research about how to design a structure like this so that it appeals to chimney swifts?
That's a great question. I think you just ask the experts and they tell you, well, yeah, make sure it's about as close to what a regular chimney would be. And then the nice thing about it, too, is that you can design it for, you can input cameras so we can monitor them. We can have an opening at the bottom so that we can control temperature. So there's options there to make it really, really ideal.
And where has this type of structure been used successfully?
I can't remember the exact locations. I know that there's one in Canada. I know that there's one out in, I want to say it's East Coast, but I probably should know more about that. But we have folks working on it, but really getting examples. And actually, we've gotten some designs that folks have shared with us that have, for some successful chimneys, so we can pass those on to folks who know how to build these kinds of things.
And how are discussions with the school district going?
I mean, they have a lot of things they're worried about, you know. So I think we're making some headway, and we've been talking to our alder persons, and there's a lot of neighborhood interest in this. It's a really, for the folks that live in that area, they know about the roost and they really, really care about it. We're optimistic. We certainly understand that the school has a lot of competing priorities, and we want to make this something that's really special for the school and special for the kids.
It seems like there's an educational opportunity here. Are the kids aware of the current chimneys in the school? It's just swifts in the school?
I don't think so. I think that my son went to Cherokee. I think it's the Panthers, it's their mascot. I think I would propose to change it to Swifts.
But have you talked to teachers or educators about the educational opportunities of, hey, you've got this unique habitat on your own school grounds and getting kids excited about that?
I mean, we'd be very happy to do that. I think it is a really great opportunity for to learn about this incredible species, but also really understand like how we humans and birds need to get along and we rely on each other. I mean, we need swifts. I mean, swifts need us, but we need swifts. They provide so many ecosystem services for us. So what's good for swifts is good for us.
What are some examples?
Well, they're eating bugs all day. So that makes our evenings a lot more pleasurable here in Wisconsin. And so that's a really vital part of the food web. So they're providing incredible service for us.
Tell us about Swift Night Out.
So that is next Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. around dusk, because that's when the swifts come in. So we'll be likely at Cherokee. We'd have to make a call an audible if the birds decide to go someplace else. But please come join us. We'll be sitting out in the lawn. We'll be talking about swifts. And it really is it's a fantastic night for just enjoying each other's company. But the swifts put on a heck of a show. And then the following week is Swift Week, and we'll be having smaller events around. So come and check our website out. We're partnering with the BIPOC Birding Club of Wisconsin, Feminist Bird Club, the Chimney Swift Working Group. So you can check out their websites also.
All right, we've been speaking with Matt Reitz, Executive Director of the Southern Wisconsin Bird Alliance. For more information about chimney swift conservation efforts and the Cherokee Heights Middle School project in particular, you can go to swibirds.org/chimney. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
Thanks, Brian.